We're joined by Henry Schulman of the San Francisco Chronicle and an ESPN expert. He's all over the place. He's on every time I turn around, I see you on TV, on ESPN, on Comcast. You're a KNBR insider. You have another career going.
Well, they have a word for that. It's called overexposure.
You do. It's wonderful. Honestly, it's amazing that all the things you've done, and you work hard, so it's nice to have you with us from spring training. But, Henry, listening to Bruce Bochy talk about the catching, and we've done these shows, the callers, and, you know, you try to ask questions that people respond to. What about the catching on this club? And I realize we're going to know more today, 4 innings out of Posey. But let's jump ahead 3-4 weeks. What do you think it's going to look like?
Well, I think it's going to be Posey starting, assuming he's healthy, and then either Whiteside or Stewart. I mean, the only minor league catcher who's somewhat ready for the majors is Hector Sanchez, and they want him to play every day. I mean, he's got a good bat, but they saw at the end of the year that he needs a little work behind the dish. There's really no reason to rush him up here. You don't want him. I mean, even if Posey plays only 4 days a week, you don't want Hector up here just playing a couple of days and sitting. You want him to work.
All right. So of Stewart and Whiteside, let's narrow it down a little bit more. For some reason, I've just conceded the job to Stewart. Is there competition here?
Oh yeah. I wouldn't concede the job to Stewart at all.
Very
because
good. All right.
You know, Whiteside has been catching these guys for a longer amount of time, and it's clear from the way he's throwing the ball that the elbow injury that really affected him for the entire 2011 season is not an issue anymore. Or at least it hasn't been here in camp. And I think it's going to be a very, very tough call right there between those two guys. I wouldn't concede it to Stewart at all.
All right. Well, I'm glad you said that because, you know, I've sort of just taken it for granted. Good receiver. They liked him last year and stayed with him. Didn't even go out and get another catcher last year and stayed with Stewart. All right. All right. That's more competition in the camp. This has been a rather uneventful camp, truthfully. But then again, it's a camp that has competition all over the place. It's a hungry camp.
Yeah, I wouldn't say all over the place. I really think it's basically down to the last guy on the bench, to be honest. I mean, there were two competitions. There was the last spot in the bullpen, and that pretty much got taken care of when Dan Runsler got hurt. So it'll be Clay Hensley unless something really remarkable happens. I mean, he pitched for Bochy. Bochy loves him. He keeps the ball down. The Giants have an infield defense, which is decent now. So, I mean, that'd be very helpful to have a guy like that replace Ramon Ramirez. And really, what you're talking about is, is it going to be, are they going to take the extra infielder? I mean, is it going to be Fontenot and Terrio, or will they take an extra outfielder? Will it be Blanco? There is sort of the competition that Brandon Belt is having against himself. He's not really competing with any one person, but they have to make a decision on what they're going to do with him at the end of the year. So how he plays is going to factor into that. He's been playing great so far.
Well, he did last year as well. And I brought up today, you know, last year the team got off to a great start in spring training, the first couple of weeks. Huff was hitting the ball all over the place. Boy, everyone was feeling pretty good watching the Giants. And all of a sudden things started to happen. Aubrey Huff, I assume he is locked in at first base. He will be the opening day first baseman.
I would think so. I mean, unless something remarkable happens. Look, he's got a $10 million contract. We're not going to be able to gloss over that fact. Plus, they do believe he has a commitment. He's made a commitment to stay on the straight and narrow with his conditioning and coming to work ready every day. He was a big star 2 years ago for this team. Now, whether he can do it again at 35 as opposed to when he was 33, nobody knows. I think the leash will be a lot shorter this year, especially if Belt is hitting the ball well. I mean, you couldn't just, or this is the way Bochy and Sabian felt, you couldn't just bench a guy who is just starting a two-year, $20 million contract because then you lose him. They weren't all that thrilled with Belt's plate approach anyway. Yeah. But it's a different story. I mean, Belt, I tweeted this yesterday. I don't think I've seen a bad Belt at bat all spring. And, of course, right after I tweeted that, he had a terrible at bat. But it's the Schulman jinx working. He's a different hitter right now, looks to me, Brandon Belt. So, I mean, I think it's good. I think that's going to push Aubrey.
All right. And we've kicked this around on the show. Of course, the post-game show today after the game as well. How long is the leash for Aubrey Huff? And I say, well, let's see, give him a month, give him 30 games, give him 120 at-bats. What is the leash really for him?
Well, I mean, I don't know where if I could put a number on it, but, I mean, I don't even think – I mean, if he has a bad first week, I think you might see if Brandon's on the team, I think you might see him playing some games. You know, Bochy likes to move guys around and mix and match. And, you know, one thing that's interesting, too, is that Nate Cheerholz hasn't really made a lot of noise in this camp so far. Now, he has a little injury right now. He has a little muscle irritation, and where, I don't know. They're being very hockey-ish about saying where it is. But, you know, he's been out. He'll play tomorrow. Hasn't really been tearing the cover off the ball. I mean, I think they're going to have to sit down and go, you know, we want Brandon Belt to be a first baseman, but we need his bat in the lineup. So maybe we have Brandon Belt start out there in left field, move Melky over to right, you know, see what we can get there.
What's your take on Angel – Henry Shulman with us, fans. You know his voice, and, of course, we hear him all the time on KNBR. What's your take on Angel Pagan so far? We've only seen 10 games, but you get an idea of how a guy plays.
Well, he hasn't been hitting the ball all that well, and I don't take much stock in that. He didn't play winter ball. He's an older, veteran player, and sometimes it takes those guys a while to get going. But, I mean, I love the speed that I've seen from him. I think he's in the outfield really excited me all that much so far. I mean, he's not really diving for balls or charging balls. And I don't know if that's just a veteran player not wanting to throw his body around in spring training or what, but I think toward the end of camp, you'll want to see a little bit more of that. Somebody was here who was a Mets fan, a member of the media who likes the Mets and saw Angel Pagan a lot, and he told me that, look, you know, Angel Pagan, 9 days out of 10, you're going to think he should be a Gold Glove center fielder, and then that 10th day will come, and he'll do two things that'll drive you crazy.
Yeah.
But you have to like the speed. I mean, if he gets on base, he is going to cause havoc on the bases. He's going to make it hard for the pitcher to concentrate on throwing to Melky Cabrera, and Melky Cabrera is locked in. I mean, he looks locked and loaded, as they say. The way he's approaching at bats. Then you got Pablo and Posey and Huff, and if you clog the bases, if they do a good job at the top clogging the bases with Pagan and Cabrera, I think they're going to be able to do a little bit of damage.
Henry, do you think Cabrera is locked in as the number two hitter no matter what happens here? Freddie Sanchez coming back slowly, obviously in the field he's hitting all the time, but is three switch hitters leading on, you know?
Yeah, I think that's their plan. I think part of it is that they're so left-handed, they would like to see maybe Freddie down there in the sixth spot breaking up all their left-handers. And, you know, Freddie's a decent number two hitter. I mean, he can put the ball in play. He knows how to hit a grounder to the right side. He can sacrifice or whatnot. But, you know, that's sort of the old National League philosophy, you know, get him on, get him over, get him in. And it looks to me like Bochy's way of thinking is, you know, let's do it a different way. Let's just get those two guys on there and just drive the other team crazy right from the get-go if they can, and then, you know, force them to throw strikes to Pablo Sandoval and Buster Posey and just let the chips fall where they may. I mean, I never say anything is locked in, but I think that's the way they're heavily leaning right now.
Boy, interesting. All right. Been an interesting camp. As I say, not a lot of bad things have happened, but we're watching a team sort of being molded together. This is a different Giants team for the fans. People have not down here, haven't really seen them. They're going to get a different look from this ball club, especially with Crawford at short.
Yeah, it's definitely a more athletic team all the way around. You know, you look at the guys they have out there. I mean, Pablo is athletic for his size. I mean, he's a guy who's not a liability on the base paths. Posey is not the fastest guy in the world. So there's a little bit of a little slog there on the bases. And Huff, who's not the fastest guy in the world. But then, you know, you have some athletic, quick guys even down at the bottom of the lineup. And I think that, I mean, this is something Sabian has wanted for years and years and years, is a more athletic team. And he's run into the problem where he's had to build his team just because of what was out there or what he had in the system, you know, where this was a station-to-station team. Good defense a lot of the time, not so much last year. That fell by the wayside a little bit. I think that the up-the-middle defense with Pagan, Crawford, Sanchez, and Posey has the potential to be very good, and we all know that that's important. I want to see a little more of Pagan, a little more enthusiasm out there in center field, to be honest.
All right, last thought for you. Is Bumgarner the number two pitcher here?
You know, I'm getting the sense. No. I'm getting the sense that that what he'd really like to do is go 1-2 with Lincecum and Kane like they did last year. That you know you can I mean go too far with this left-right thing. I mean you have two of the best pitchers in the game, and I think their thinking is we would like to you come in, you got to face Lincecum and Kane, and you know, and then oh by the way, if you manage to beat one of those, congratulations. Now you got Bumgarner the next day. I think that that's the way they're leaning, unless Vogelsong isn't ready to go, in which case, if they have to skip Vogelsong or bring in another starter right off the bat, then they pretty much have to have Bumgarner pitch second so they don't have three lefties in a row.
Yeah. All right. Henry, thanks so much as always.
All right. You bet.
Yeah, no, good to talk ball with you. That's what we do on Sunday morning. We talk some ball here on Sunday.
Okay. Well, I'll try and get out of church early and come talk some more ball with you.
All right. Henry Schulman of the Chronicle. Nice to have him here with us.